Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Positive signs from the Supreme Court regarding the abortion arguments. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Holly, these are great opportunities that we see right now at the United States Supreme Court and around the country with regards to advancing pro-life and the sanctity of human life. And we're seeing many, many states pass these laws, including the one in Mississippi, that continues to challenge Roe v. Wade and the abortion decisions. And this is certainly one of those cases that was before the Supreme Court for almost 2 hours. Oral arguments occurred on December the 1st before the United States Supreme Court. And there's some positive signs that are coming from the comments and the questions of the justices.
Yeah, this was a very strong case, Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health, which concerns a Mississippi law known as the Gestational Age Act, which was enacted in 2018, that prohibits abortions after 15 weeks gestation, except in medical emergency or in cases of severe fetal abnormality. And of course, this law has never gone into effect because a federal district court and the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals blocked it, stating that Roe and Casey prevent states from banning abortions before fetal viability. And that was really the bottom line that the justices discussed, wasn't it?
That's right.
The viability.
Yeah. So you go back to Roe v. Wade, which distorted the Constitution and ultimately caused incredible, incalculable damage with over 60 plus million babies aborted since 1973.
And of course, that was all based on a lie.
That woman
did not want an abortion.
Because there was never an abortion in that case. It was all set up just to challenge the abortion laws. None of the states allowed abortion through all 9 months of pregnancy, and yet Roe v. Wade and Doe v. Bolton, the companion case, did.
Right.
Now, in that 7-2 decision, they set up a trimester system, and they said that in the third trimester, the state does have a greater interest in protecting the child in the womb, the developing child, they said, because of its ability to live outside of the womb. Viability is what we would call it now. Mm-hmm. And then in 1992, Casey came along, and it looked like Casey was going to overturn Roe v. Wade because the whole medical technology development literally obliterated Roe's artificial trimester system, because now you had viability, the ability of the baby to live outside the mother's womb. Not in the third trimester, but moving all the way back into the second trimester. So Casey was predicted to overturn Roe. And after the oral argument, in fact, it was a 5-4 vote by the justices to overturn Roe. And Rehnquist was writing the opinion for 30 days, but O'Connor and Souter pressured Kennedy to switch his vote. And the argument that came out of the decision in 1992 resurfaced in 2021. Mm-hmm. And that is, if you overturn Roe versus Wade, you're going to destroy the credibility of the court, and the court won't have any more authority. We'll get back to that in a minute. But what happened is Casey then was a decision that Kennedy switched his vote 30 days into the writing, and it became 5-4 to uphold abortion but modify Roe and base the dividing point on a movable standard of viability, not the trimester system, but viability could move from the third into the second trimester. And so what was pretty clear on the Supreme Court's opinions, and obviously I disagree with them, but what was pretty clear is that what the Supreme Court precedent had said is that you cannot ban abortion prior to viability. And obviously that's what Mississippi did to challenge Roe versus Wade, because viability does not go all the way back to the 15 weeks. You've got a human baby,
right,
but outside of the womb would not be able to live at that stage with the current technology that we have. Justice Alito talked about the Plessy versus Ferguson, that case that said the famous or infamous phrase, separate but equal, that was eventually overturned by Brown versus Board of Education. And so the question was, do you have to wait for developments on the ground to change over time before you overturn a decision if the decision was wrong at the time that it was decided?
And that's important to remember. These justices, they're humans. They make mistakes. And something like that can be overturned because it could have been a mistake.
Yeah, and sometimes the time passes and realize, you know, after time, that the decision is no longer good for various reasons. Factual developments have changed, for example. But what you have in Roe and some of these others, Plessy versus Ferguson, is it didn't need the passage of time. It was wrong because it was so unlawful, so unconstitutional, so not grounded in the Constitution that at the time that it was penned, it was wrong and you should be able to overturn it immediately. And the Solicitor General even eventually agreed that she would actually agree with overturning Plessy versus Ferguson right away. Well, then why not overturn Roe?
Right. And I think Justice Thomas was good about bringing out the point, abortion is not in the Constitution.
It's not in the Constitution. Where is the right, he says. Where is it written in the Constitution about the right to abortion? It's not, obviously. So what we have done is we've listened to the oral arguments when they were presented, and I count 6 votes, including the Chief Justice, that would, at least based upon their comments and questions, I would predict, would uphold the Mississippi law that bans abortion after 15 weeks. Now, having 6 justices that uphold that law means I don't see how in the world you can uphold Roe or even modify Roe or Casey, because that blows away the very core of Casey, which is the viability standard.
Right. So there's a very good opportunity that at least partially Roe could be overruled, right?
Exactly. And then one of the justices was essentially saying it's all or nothing. If you uphold the law that bans abortion after 15 weeks, there's no way that you can salvage Roe or Casey. They're both gone. And I think that comment was directed specifically to the Chief Justice, because the Chief Justice, it appeared, was willing to uphold the Mississippi law that is contrary to Roe and Casey, but not quite sure where he would be on overturning Roe and Casey outright. But it looks like there are at least 5 votes to overturn Roe v. Wade and Planned Parenthood versus Casey. But Holly, as you mentioned, and we had said before, even though that's the way it clearly appeared on the day of the argument, December 1, and that's likely the ultimate vote that they conducted in private later that week when they met in private conference, and that likely is the direction of the decision being written now.
We don't stop praying.
We don't stop praying, because we know 2 major cases were 5-4 to overturn Obamacare. And the last 30 days, it switched 5-4 to uphold but modify Obamacare. And that was the Chief Justice switching his vote, John Roberts. And then in 1992, with regards to abortion, that was Kennedy switching his vote. He was originally 5-4 to overturn Roe. And under pressure from Souter and O'Connor, 30 days into the writing, which also was 30 days before the decision would be released, he switched his vote. And the next 30 days, the decision was to uphold abortion. And instead of Rehnquist writing the decision in the majority, he was the dissenter. And Kennedy switched and wrote the decision along with O'Connor and Souter to uphold abortion. So it's not over till it's over.
Right. We need to pray they don't succumb to pressure from the radical justices or from the culture or the media or anything else that's trying to come against them.
Because it's very clear from Breyer and Sotomayor and even Kagan, but particularly Sotomayor and Breyer's perspective, that they're looking at public opinion.
Which
and
is
they're
sad
saying
to me. Very
they didn't
sad. Yeah.
Defend Roe or Casey. They didn't try to justify it in the Constitution. They can't. Their only argument was, well, if we overturn Roe, then it looks like we're being political, that we made a mistake then, or that it's just being political now, and therefore we lose our authority as a court and we're done. No, you lose your authority as a court, as the Supreme Court of the United States, when you deviate from the Constitution and make it up as you go. That's when you lose your legitimacy and your authority. Going back to the original understanding of the Constitution, which does not support abortion, then you're close to the place where you are legitimate. Because the Constitution survives, you survive. But if you deviate from the Constitution, then you ultimately become illegitimate in the eyes of the people. Continue to pray for this case. For more information, visit lc.org, lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776. Become an active partner of Liberty Counsel and make a difference in your community and across the nation. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776.